From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Hungry, hungry hippos.
Up with people. You meet them wherever you go. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, today is Tuesday, sort of evening, January 19th, 2010.
And this is show, is this 072, is that correct?
072. That's right. I know it might be a bit tough for you. Welcome back.
Thank
from
you.
The little hiatus. Good to hear you. Not that we didn't see each other like 2 days ago.
Right,
you know.
But good to be back nonetheless. Shopkeeping, minions, how many? Storm.
With 262 in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions, go to paulandstorm.com to join that formidable force.
Yeah. So a nice podcast last week with Len Peralta from Jawbone Radio, who ably filled my easily filled shoes.
Not so easily filled. We did have a good time, and I really think it would be fun for all three of us to do a podcast
absolutely
together.
And now that we have at this low many years later finally harnessed the power of Skype,
it's freaking me out a little bit.
Yeah, this is for those of you not sitting here in each of our rooms, which would be all of you. This is the first podcast, the first Paul and Storm podcast with the two of us, where we are talking over Skype rather than over a telephone line.
Now, we're not recording with Skype. We're
no.
using it as our medium. The thing that I know it throws you as well, and maybe you folks out there have this problem too, is like on a regular telephone, you hear yourself speaking.
Yeah.
And on Skype, I don't know, maybe there's a way to make that happen.
Yeah, I didn't look very hard, but I didn't find anything where basically if you're wearing a pair of headphones with a microphone attached to them like I am, and like I believe you are, right, Storm?
I am.
So, you know, your ears are covered. I can hear Storm perfectly, but I hear myself only through what, you know, sneaks through the headphone cups. I can't hear myself in my own ears. And indeed, it is a little... that's basically the reason why when you see people in a recording studio, like in a movie or a TV show, and they throw one ear off of the headphones, they don't do it just because it looks cool. They do it because it's a little easier to hear yourself that way. Even when your voice is coming through the headphones, sometimes you just want to hear directly from the sound that crawls up the corner of your mouth and across your cheek up to your ear.
I would posit it sort of makes you look like a douchebag when you do that.
It does, but it's a useful douchebag. Well, I mean, I'm sure there are people who do it just for the sake of looking all cool and
right,
rockstar.
Like, I'm recording, and I got one hand on my ear.
That's a song right there.
Yeah, by Otto, the bus driver from The Simpsons.
That's
yes.
right. So we had some lovely shows in Florida. First time in Florida.
Oh, hold on. Whoa,
oh, sorry.
Whoa. I have just a couple of responses from last week's podcast.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Of course.
I had asked in discussing cola, both of these are cola related responses. I wasn't sure about why corn syrup was not kosher. And in fact, M.T. Gordon has told us that, yes, corn is indeed a grain, and grain is verboten during Passover.
Because it might ferment.
I don't know why it's a grain.
That was what I'd seen somebody say, like, that was the problem, is the corn might ferment, and fermented beverages are verboten.
Well, that makes sense, because the whole thing with matzah is unleavened.
Yeah.
So fermenting, leavening, okay. So there's our kosher moment. And this was just sort of interesting that we're talking about cola and sodas, as you and I have, on several occasions, being consumers avidly of such a product.
Yes.
Blast Bill Putt let us know about something called the Open Soda project, opensoda.org. OpenSoda.org, which I am eager to find maybe at a con in the future, but apparently sort of homebrew sodas, and I did check out the site that it has the ingredients to roll your own.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the ingredients not so easy to find, but, well, you know, not like in the grocery store or anything.
Right,
but
you have to go to the distillery store or brewery shop.
Or like, you know, get a junior chemistry set.
Or the root, go to the root store.
And put it in your root cellar.
Yeah, roots. Oh, that's an argument we can start. We can find out where everybody's from by asking them if they pronounce it root or root.
Well, I know that if you use the phrase, I'm going down cellar,
yeah,
as opposed to down into the cellar.
Right.
That's like a Massachusetts thing,
yep.
I understand.
Yep.
So my wife's family from there, and I don't think I've trained her out of it completely.
No. But, that's like, I knew people growing up, this doesn't seem to be regional so much as just how your parents did it or something.
Yeah.
People who would say, leave go instead of let go. Like if you grab someone's arm and they say, leave go of me.
It sounds like a Forrest Gumpism.
It does, doesn't it? But, you know, the people that I knew that said it, like, they weren't all, you know, Southerners or Rubes or
me
farm
and
people.
Me and Jenny were like peas and carrots. None ever wanted her to leave go of me.
I love you, Jenny.
leave go, never.
I'm going down to root cellar now, Jenny.
I'm going down root cellar.
So enough of that frivolity.
Yeah.
As I was saying, yes, we had our first shows in Florida ever as Paul and Storm. Our first public shows.
Public shows.
We've done a couple of corporate things. And I think Da Vinci's Notebook actually did one public show once in Florida.
Oh, Jacksonville.
Yeah, in Jacksonville. That was an absolute
Cafe.
Disaster. That's right. That was an especial disaster for you because wasn't that when you first found out about, shall we say, the great terribleness?
Yeah, this was, God, I remember it was the middle of winter and it was even cold in Jacksonville.
We were down there for, it was like the folk festival thing, right? Like
yeah,
folk,
right.
Folk Alliance, yes.
National Folk Alliance. And we decided we'd pick up this extra gig while we were out there. Hey, we're there, why not? A place owned by someone connected somehow with the band Lynyrd Skynyrd, like a girlfriend or ex-wife or current wife, I don't know. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
I guess there were about seven people there. And I guess right before we went on, I got a call from, she was not my wife at the time, but we were renovating a house together, which we were living in. And at the moment, she was really the only occupant with me in Jacksonville. And a contractor had cut a pipe, and it happened to have been a gas pipe.
Which of all the pipes in one's house to cut when you're occupying it, that's probably the least useful and most harmful pipe to cut.
Yeah, gas can kill you.
Yeah.
If it seeps out, and especially if you're not aware that it had been cut and
yeah.
that the subcontractor had not told anyone that they had cut this pipe.
And this wasn't like a oops, I slipped with the reciprocating saw. This was like I took this pipe clean off kind of thing, wasn't it?
Correct. Now, granted, we had asked them to take these pipes out, but if you were to take a pipe out and realize it was a gas pipe because suddenly the entire house smells like gas, you'd let someone know.
Yeah, in theory.
They didn't, and they just stuffed a little bit of insulation into the pipe.
Ugh.
So poor Gillian got home, and the place just reeked of gas.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the place could have gone kablooey.
Yeah.
Completely kablooey.
Yeah.
It didn't. And I wish I could say that things were just uphill from there. But yeah, so that was sort of my frame of mind when we started this gig in cold Jacksonville in front of seven people.
Yeah. So we didn't have needless to say, a very good precedent for how shows should go in Florida. And the other thing I will mention as an aside, one of my favorite memories of Da Vinci's Notebook ever, and it's not even really related to the old band, but the fact that in Jacksonville they had what is quite possibly the most racistly named restaurant in existence, especially since Po' Folks has gone out of business.
And Sambo's is long
gone. Was a place, it was wings, Chinese, takey, outy.
That's never
all,
forget
all
that.
With all with two E's. I could not believe, you know, that a place could get away with being named that.
Now, one of our bandmates is of Chinese descent. His folks are from Taiwan. And, oh boy, we wanted very much to go to one of these places and just let him at it, you know?
Yep, yep. That would have been a joy.
Hi. So I'd like some takey outie.
Do you serve Chinese food here? And there's a question for the listeners, I think. Are there any other, like, you know, terrible, antiquated, racist restaurants out there, or maybe used to be out there these days? I would be charmed to hear of them.
Or even anything. Some would say the Washington Redskins is a horribly derogatory term. I don't mean it in a, you know, politically way, you know, but yeah, just as another example of something that has sort of gone past its time, perhaps.
Yeah.
And I'm a Redskins fan, so, you know, I say that, well, as much as I am a fan of sports anymore, so.
Yeah. But I digress. The shows in Florida this time around went wonderfully. There were great crowds, huge crowds.
Yeah, terrific.
And another great crowd in Atlanta as well. We sold out the Variety Playhouse, which was a very good feeling. 750 geeks strong.
Jonathan helped.
Yeah, he helped a little bit. We must give credit where credit is due. So we're back and we're feeling kind of good for, you know, it was nice to have that for a first weekend back after what was basically about a month off.
I always forget. I mean, I remember and forget at the same time. I sort of re-get. But that after a long period, a long spell without performing in front of an audience, I get all oogie and like depressed and stuff.
Yeah, it's because it's the you miss out on the endorphin rush.
I'm serious. It's sort of like you jump into a pool, and as you do, you realize that you don't breathe air, you breathe water. So it's like, ah, and that's what that was, big ah.
So what's on the docket? What do you got?
I have a few little notes and a couple of things from folks on Twitter that look interesting.
Sure.
This one, I have one that relates to travel.
Sure. Sounds good.
And this is called, Am I a Douchebag? All right. And Paul, you know about this already.
I do. Okay.
But for you folks out there, Paul and I fly a lot, and as such, we are now in one of the greater tiers of the frequent flyer programs for U.S. Airways. So one of the great perks is if they have space, you can get bumped up to first class. And I'm at such a level, for reasons I won't go into because they're boring, but that it's fairly high up, so the chances are even greater I'll be bumped into first class.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on this past trip, as were you, Paul.
Yep.
Now, Paul is one class back.
Yes, that's right. That's another mark of the new year. Just because of the way the mileage has worked out, Storm is one notch above me, preferred traveler-wise.
Which, in practical terms, doesn't mean much, except in the case of this issue I'm having. I should always get the upgrade before Paul. They check earlier, and also choice of seat. Now, I like window seats.
Mm-hmm. I would go so far as to say it's not a compulsion,
yep,
but it is certainly it's more than a preference for you.
It is, and you know, much as I'm generally a patient person, I would put not sitting in a window seat up there with sitting in traffic. Like, I don't know. It's just you can lean on it and not have to worry about it, you know, disturbing someone. And if the flight's a little rocky, if you keep your eyes out the window, you won't, you know, boot your lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the reason, that's my preference. And all right. This is the part where I feel like a douchebag. When they upgrade me, they always, almost always now, upgrade me into an aisle seat. And on this last flight, we were both upgraded, and Paul was in a window, which is your preference as well, when stated, and I had an aisle seat.
Actually, interestingly, I now state that I prefer an aisle seat.
Really?
Yeah, I have changed my stripes in the last couple of years.
Well, then the question is, and this is for both of us then, all right, I've contacted them and written them, but when I do, I feel like such a douchebag because I'm
now you, and you should
them.
Mention, I think, I'm not sure that you said that, you know, part of the upgrade, part of the whole frequent flyer program is you're supposed to say in your profile, like, do you prefer aisle or window seats?
Right. They should know in their system. And when I've talked to them before, they've said, oh, it's a glitch in the system. It'll be cleared up next week. But I don't know. Am I a douchebag? Because, you know, I'm sure all of you out there just feel so bad for me. Oh, poor yes. Storm.
Poor he's, Storm has to
he's
have
in first class in the aisle. Oh, poor guy. I think I just answered my own question.
I think you probably did.
I'm such a douchebag.
You're not really a douchebag. And not, let me put it this way. You're not a douchebag for the calling and the trying to get your preference.
Okay.
But the whining and bitching and moaning when you don't get your way, but you have been upgraded to first class.
Right.
Probably borders on douchebaggery. Not Why saying not? That you do that all the time,
no, no, no.
But to the extent
no, no.
that you do, hey, your phone's ringing.
That's probably my wife who wants me to pick her up. Nope. It's a call center.
Oh boy. Answer it.
No way. It's just an automated call and they want money.
Yeah.
And it's not for Haiti, so I ain't giving.
Yeah.
We already have our docket of charities. Thank you very much.
Yes. There we go.
Which Haiti has been added to, by the way.
Yes. So we've determined Storm is a douchebag. By the way, the 10-minute mark was about just shy of 7 minutes ago.
Yeah. I have a few other things written down, a couple of recommends as well. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go?
Let me see. Let me look on my little list here. I didn't write down his name or her name. So let me look on the list here. Here are the K-Brain on the Twitter asked if either of us are or were into video games and what types of things we like to play in our spare time.
We have talked about this in the past, but I think it bears discussing more.
Sure. You know, I won't talk so much about the present stuff because I think we've discussed that. We both own Xboxes.
Yeah.
I think I probably use mine a good deal more than you do.
Yeah, I'm a little out of phase right now. I sort of wax and wane with console gaming.
Yeah, I sort of do too. I have been on a kick lately. You know, here's another one. You know, the poor Paul the rock star or whatever. This Christmas, my older daughter, we got her an Xbox, or more to the point, we got me a new Xbox and she inherited my old Xbox
because
we both enjoy playing various video games together, especially Modern Warfare and now Modern Warfare 2. Now we get to play together online with other friends and such. And, you know, it's fun. And I have a good time with that. We both have, both you and I have the various rock bands, although we haven't really touched our rock band in a while.
That's the one I'd say. I played Beatles Rock Band a ton.
Yeah.
And I think that was what happened. It's sort of like, you know, you discover rice pudding and then you can't get enough rice pudding. And then one day you're like, oh, God, I'm so sick of rice pudding. But I'll come back around because you haven't completely turned your back on rice pudding.
Yeah, it's true. But what I was going to talk about was I don't know that we've talked about this on the podcast. Both of us were owners of the Atari 2600.
Oh, yes.
In our younger days.
And we were talking about this in Florida. The joy that was actually one of the best games for that console was the one that shipped with most of the consoles.
Yep.
We are talking of Combat.
Yes.
Which doesn't, you know, a game today called Combat would be like 3D with camouflage and seeing the sweat. It would basically be Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
In 1979 or whenever it was. It was, you know, a few steps above Pong as far as the look went.
Yep.
but they did some just brilliantly creative things to make Pong interesting, I guess, is how you might say
I suppose you're right. And it's just, we played a lot of combat. I played a crap load of adventure.
I did as well. Find the secret dot and find the secret room.
I never found the secret dot. I've seen it on, like, you know, when I was of that age, even when I knew how to do it, I never actually went to find it. So I didn't see the world's first Easter egg.
I did many times.
Yeah.
Loved it.
But I did, to the point where I guess it was last year sometime, I found somebody had made a little port of the original adventure such that I could play it on my my laptop here. And until very recently, I had it on the desktop of my laptop so I could fire it up every once in a while.
You know, I can't remember how I learned about that, because now, like, video game publishers, they actually publish all of the secrets.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Back then, it really was just this thing that someone went rogue and did.
Yep.
So
I actually read about it in a gaming magazine. I do not remember which one.
You know what? That was probably it, because I did subscribe to, like, anything and everything. Like,
yep.
Electronic Gamer.
Yep.
Everything. And Games Magazine, which is terrific. Not about video games, but a very fun magazine.
Yep. Okay, next topic. You go with something for you.
Sure. We've sort of done the nostalgic thing, so I'm going to pass on this thing. I'm going to go with a couple of recommends.
Sure.
One is food and one is a book. We'll go with the food first, because it's cut and dried.
Mm-hmm.
It is a taco cart. And for my money, the phrase taco cart is one of the most beautiful.
That is that I felt little flutterings in my heart when you said that.
Say it.
Like the good flutterings.
I mean to speak it, put it in your mouth.
Yeah, taco cart. It is. It's mellifluous. Mellifluous.
Yes. And all you out there, you are listening. We will pause for just a moment, and you please say taco cart. Yeah.
Yeah, that's lovely. You know, there's somebody, I can't even remember where it came from. Somebody had said that the most beautiful phrase in the English language is cellar door.
That actually was J.R.R.R. Tolkien.
Was it?
Repeated in... Whatchamajiggy, the movie with the freaky rabbit mask and Donnie Darko.
Oh, well, I'd heard it long before then, so I guess it was the Tolkien thing. But I got to tell you, taco cart comes pretty high on that list.
And it has the bonus of, well, they're both beautiful, both in connotation and denotation, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like taco cart, you can picture, it's not only a beautiful sounding word and feels good in your mouth, but the product does as well. And especially delicious are the tacos that come off of a taco cart called District Taco. And it is just this little cart. They've been very consistently perched in Roslyn, Virginia, outside of what used to be the USA Today building.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I know, Paul, you love your Chipotle.
I love my Chipotle.
I love Chipotle. And this taco cart is actually... almost in between a Chipotle and a Baja Fresh.
Okay.
And yet people do especially on nicer days, line up to get these tacos. And I'm among them some of the time. For $5, you get like two tacos and a Coke. And the tacos are just like, you know how Chipotle, the meat is high quality. And the spice mix is like, you can imagine yourself.
It's vibrant.
Yeah, and you can imagine, like, being in some abuelita's house.
Yes.
Eating it.
Yep.
That's what this taco cart's things are like, except it's a different flavor than Chipotle,
yeah.
You know. So, you know, some days I certainly do get the Chipotle burrito.
Well, we're gonna have to go get that. We have our show, when is it, March, at the Birchmere. I'm going to have to come down and try that taco cart.
Yep. Now, the menu sort of changes, I guess, based on, you know, what meat they decided to get. So sometimes the special will be like a chicken thing. Sometimes it's pork. Sometimes it's beef. But, you know, if you're not pleased with the special, we can just go to Chipotle.
Awesome.
And no, I was not paid for this endorsement. I just like to promote foods that I am passionate about.
Yes.
So that's the food one.
Mm-hmm.
The book one, it's actually something that that Jonathan had been reading that he recommended that sounded
yes.
interesting. And indeed, I'm about halfway through it, and it is just gripping to me.
Mm-hmm.
It is called Anathem, sort of like Anthem, but a little warped. I'm sure a lot of you have read it or are reading it now. It is by Neal Stephenson. It's the first book of his I have read. He is a writer of speculative fiction. And I'm sort of describing it as Harry Potter for geeky grown-ups. In that it's sort of this slightly skewed version of our reality. Well, very skewed, but not so crazy like, you know, people breathe butter. You know, it's not quite that crazy, but just that you have this person who's fairly young, who's kind of thrown into this weird school-like place, like a monastery, actually. And it's all based around math and science and just these different sort of tribes of people and the scope of it, the scope of the history. It's like 6,000 years and more of this history. I'm not doing a good job of selling this.
No, you're not, but that's okay. I'm just letting you dig.
No, it's all right. And one of the things that's really cool is if you are a geek, and you probably are, you will recognize every one of your friends and yourself in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he went through and said, okay, here's the ADD addled guy. You know, what kind of monk would he be? What would his math specialty be? And how would he help solve these problems?
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you want to immerse yourself into a world, and it's a winner. It's a winner.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
But
enough of my gabbing.
Yeah. Thanks, Marty DeBerge. You know what? Why don't we leave it a little short this week? We've been running long a lot, and it's already, we're at like 27 minutes or so. I think we've covered some good topics. Yeah.
I feel good.
Yeah. Okay. Very briefly, he said, while he typed to go to the Pollen Storm website, to look up what shows we got coming up. We got a number of shows coming up this weekend in San Francisco, Friday and Saturday. Saturday is sold out, but there's still tickets for the Friday show at the Great American Music Hall. In the first weekend of February, we're going to be in Dallas, Austin, and Houston. We're also going to be at the end of February in Scottsdale, Arizona, San Diego, California, two nights at Largo in Los Angeles, Vancouver, our first visit there in what must be four or five attempts, Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington. I've mixed up the order of those last two. You can find all of our show information at pollenstorm.com. We also, we are officially allowed to announce, I don't remember if we did this 2 weeks ago, that we are indeed performing at PAX East, the Penny Arcade Expo in Boston. We are going to be performing on the Saturday evening, which is March 27th, but we'll be there all weekend. I don't know that they've announced the full lineup yet, so we can't really say much more about it, but we are authorized to say that we will totally be there.
And we can also say that it will be completely awesome.
Yeah, that we absolutely can say. But as I say, go see it all on the website, pollenstorm.com.
And you can also join the Brigade of Minions there, and you should, Taco Cart. Oh, one last thing.
And your wife is calling you, isn't she?
She is. One last question. Oh,
yes.
Nope, it's an 800 service.
Ah.
Do you like Star Wars?
Do you like Star Wars? I like Star Wars.
Yes, I like Star Wars. I'm Storm.
And I am Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. I had a really good phrase to end with, and I lost it. So I'm just going to say... Gesolfsnitz.
Go do things.